Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Extraordinary Family Life Podcast. We are your hosts, Greg and Rachel Denny, and we're excited to answer another great question that came in. So thanks for listening. Thanks for caring. Thanks for asking great questions. Thanks for striving to be your best self. And kudos to you, you guys. Life is challenging, to say the least. That's an understatement. And then there are a few people who say, you know what, I'm going to keep leveling up. I want to do more. And
I'm going to thrive instead of just survive.
Survive, yeah, exactly. And you know, if you look around at studies and statistics and things, it's very well established. It's really less than 2% of people are striving to thrive instead of survive. So really, there's 98% of people who are just in survival mode, just going along. They're enjoying the ride. They're having fun. They're entertaining themselves to death. But it's very few who say, you know what? I know things can be better. I know I have more potential. I want to make this better. And the fact that you're listening to this, the fact that you care, that you're asking questions, it puts you in the 2% club. So kudos.
Welcome to the club.
To you. Welcome to the club. So let's hit this question.
Okay. So I'll just read it. Hi, Dennings. I love listening to your podcast. I'm a stay-at-home mom of four and homeschool. I really wish I could live a little more extraordinary like your family does. But alas, I have a spouse, who of course I love, that doesn't feel the same. I desperately want to travel. He doesn't. I long to do things a different way. He doesn't. I like to read and listen to podcasts and all, and he doesn't. But honestly, my real question here is about myself. You said something in your recent episode, the one about helping your spouse level up, that I think was two episodes ago, that hit me where it hurts. It was about how much hard work it is, your lifestyle, and how it is kind of laughable to you now that what you used to consider hard work. I'm slightly ashamed to admit this, but I can't seem to handle much. I want to be a hard worker. But it seems like other people are able to handle so much more than me. I'm an introvert who is sadly socially awkward, needs lots of reflection time, has never been encouraged or supported. I've never felt capable of much of anything. I want different for myself and definitely don't want my kids in the same boat. What is your advice for increasing my capacity to be able to handle more, especially without any encouragement or support? I want better. I just don't know how to get there.
Wow.
That's the first time you've heard that question.
That's the first time. Oh, that is so good. So good.
Yeah.
First of all, fantastic self-awareness. You can tell there was some thought and process there, mm-hmm. of really working through it. Like, hey, this is where I'm at and this is where I want to go, which is we can't get anywhere in life until we know those two things, where we want to go and where we currently are.
Just so that's like great. Google Maps.
Yeah.
Unless you put in where you are and where you want to go, it cannot provide a route.
Exactly.
So and same thing here.
Then asking for the route. Also, kudos to you for, you know, being at home with four kids. That's a ton of work. Then choosing to do private education, mm-hmm. and being in charge of that. That's a ton of work. And then being a 2%er married to a 98%er. and I don't want to. I mean, that I'm oversimplifying. There's almost always something else. There's underlying causes of underlying causes, and so. So well, my husband doesn't want to do any of those things. I would love to talk to him. I'd love to meet him, love to coach him. I guarantee there's some underlying things. It might be fears, concerns, worries, negative
doubts.
Past experiences, doubts, insecurities, thinking, well, you know, if I say yes, what does that actually mean? Well, I have to work more, I have to do more. Is there more effort or is there more threat? Is there more risk? If we decide to go do something crazy, And so the easy out for most people is like, no, I don't want to do that.
Right. I think if you got people in an honest moment, most of them, including the 98%, they do want to
absolutely
do something. They do have dreams and desires and passions. They do want to get better. But what holds them back are these things
all
you're
those
talking
things,
about,
yep.
All the fears and doubts and concerns about failing or, you know, trying and not achieving.
Yep.
It's terrifying to most people, and so they feel that it's safer to just not try.
Right. Because they either fear an outcome or they fear the process.
Or they feel the fear, the ridicule they they'll receive. Yep. If they fail, I think especially for men, men are, I know that you've talked about this before in your men's group, that men have, more than having a fear of failure, they have a fear of being seen as a failure.
Yep.
And so, you know, that for a lot of men, that holds them back. They don't want to try and do something different because they want to, they want to succeed. They want to provide for their family. They want to have the income and the stability that their family needs, which is all a good thing. And so they feel that taking these risks is going to put that in jeopardy, which is in part true. And so that's why they prefer to take the safer route, because it is safe.
Additionally, I see this often. It's so challenging, especially without the systems. That's the core ingredients. Like, if you don't have rock solid systems in place, and we're going to talk about that in a second here, capacity and capability. If you don't have rock solid systems in place, then you're just trying to survive what you already have. And the thought of adding more, you're like, we're just trying to keep our stuff together here. Like, it already feels like a dumpster fire, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 or 7 days a week. And you want to go travel the world? Kid, I'm just barely hanging on. I hardly sleep at night. I'm up, you know, up late and up early and worried and just trying to, like, keep a normal life together.
Yeah.
And you want to go do what? You want to start a business and travel the world and tackle this? Are you out of your mind? Right? It seems so overwhelming, and it even seems impossible. Because we don't have systems and strategies in place to make it work.
Because in many ways, you are adding to that workload. I mean, traveling is an interruption to all of those things. It does interrupt your sleep and your schedule and your routines if you have them. I mean, it is an interruption. Same with starting a business and their risks. So the point is there are valid concerns. So I guess in some ways that's where we start recognizing, like, yeah, there are valid concerns here. There are valid things to be worried about. So the fact that your spouse isn't fully on board, it's actually a really good thing. And people may not realize this about us, but we've always had that dynamic. When one of us comes up with some crazy dream, the other one of us is like, whoa, hold on one second. Like, here's all the potential pitfalls here. We need to watch out. So it's not, we're not being Pollyanna when we are pursuing dreams and not paying attention to the real risks, because there are real risks. So one of the best ways to support your spouse in this process of wanting to do more of those things is to first acknowledge, say, yeah, you're right. You are right. All of the things you are worried about are legit.
They're potential.
They are potential risks. So I'm not trying to tell you that there's no risk in trying to pursue something different. There are real risks. But I am saying that.
Or even efforts or challenges or obstacles.
Exactly.
Yeah, things won't work out exactly how you hope they will.
Exactly. And so the important thing is, though, to have that acknowledgement between each other, because otherwise you feel like your spouse, the one who's not on board, may feel like you're living in some sort of la-la land and not aware of what could go wrong.
Exactly. You're thinking, just delusional.
Are you crazy? Yeah, you are delusional. You think that we're going to be able to do that and not potentially.
And you and I trade off when we do that. You'll come with an idea and I'm like, you're not seeing this. And I'll come to you with this big dream and you're like, you're not even understanding logistics.
Exactly. Here. Right. And when I remember very vividly the very first time when we got these crazy ideas to travel, and we stood in the hallway face to face. I mean, we had maybe one or two kids at the time, and we knew what we were facing. We were like, we could end up declaring bankruptcy. We could end up losing your career, which was a huge deal to us at the time.
Yeah, you're right. It was me.
It was you.
People think I'm the wild driver.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty accurate for the most part. But that time I was like,
first time,
babe, you don't understand. If we try that and it doesn't work out, like, we lose everything.
Right.
And it was terrifying, especially because I had come from extreme poverty. Mm-hmm. I'd been broke, and then, you know, we had a career.
We had achieved our dream, exactly, which was
a paycheck every other Friday. Paycheck every other week,
you know, secure job, 401k, we had the house, like we had everything. And so it felt so risky putting all of that on the line. And yeah, you were terrified. I was terrified too. Yeah. But the important thing was we addressed that. We didn't pretend like that wasn't a real risk. We were like, yeah, you're right. We could end up losing everything. And in fact, if you guys know our story, along the way, that did happen.
Yep.
2008, we ended up losing everything. So it did happen to us. But we're also here to tell you that it was worth it and we're better for it. And
we made a lot of stupid mistakes.
That's what
we share.
And we had no mentoring and coaching.
Don't do what we did.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's tons of ways around it.
In some ways, though, do what we did because it helped us to grow and develop.
Right.
I mean, it's also foolish to say don't try or don't make mistakes, because that's a part of the journey. That's right. A part of the process.
And there will be mistakes and there will be failures. There will be obstacles. And I remember a couple things early on in that journey that I think were transformative for me and for us. One, I heard Brian Tracy say, imagine the worst case scenario, write it down on paper, and then do everything in your power to prevent it from happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yes. Now, a lot of people imagine the worst case scenario and they get freaked out. They wet themselves and then they never dream or take the risk.
They never even try.
They never even leave the porch because they're like, the thought of the worst case scenario scared them so bad. They went back inside and they're like, no, I'm never going to do anything. I'm not going to live. I'm just going to exist. I'm like the Croods. We're not going to live. We're just not going to die. We're going to stay in the cave.
This isn't living. It's just not dying.
So one is imagine a worst case scenario and then do everything in your power to prevent it. It's a really powerful strategy. You're like, how could things go wrong? What can fall apart here? Okay. What do we do to prevent that? It's really powerful. The second piece was that we had to learn how to solve problems. We had to learn how to become more capable. And that was the question.
Yeah.
And we learned the way I like to teach it and when I'm coaching is to increase our capacity. We have to increase our capacity. And I remember distinctly this day, this moment, I was trying to wrap my head around it, trying to write, trying to teach. I'm like, how do you increase your capacity? How do you increase your capability? How do you become tougher? And it just struck me. There's only one way to become tough. Just one. There are no shortcuts. There are no hacks. There's no back door. Somebody lets you in and nobody can share it with you. There's one way to become tough, and it's to do hard things. That's it. And I went back and forth and I tried to wrap my head all the way around. I did everything I could. I'm like, there's no way around it. And I was, at the time, we were reading tons of autobiographies and biographies and stories, and we still average a book a week. There's no exception. The only way to become tough is to do hard things. The only way to become more capable and to increase your capacity is to do more.
Right.
Take on more.
Well, because essentially the meaning of increasing your capacity means you have more capability to do more things. And the only way for you to develop that skill is to actually do more things. Now, going back to what people say of like, I'm already doing so much. What do you mean do more things? It also means doing more of the right things. Because if you just keep doing more and more and more,
and you're still a dumpster fire,
that doesn't contribute to your capacity. It just contributes to your overwhelm and your
chaos.
Yeah.
And worse results. So you're right. Thank you. For clarifying, because you might be like, I have so much going on, I'm doing so much. And you might not be doing any of it very well.
Mm-hmm.
Any listener, not I'm not talking to the person asking the question, I'm just to everybody. Like, are all the things you're doing really matter? Do they all really matter? Do they need to be a part of your life? If not, say no, get them out. Anything that remains, you have to figure out how to do well.
Yes.
Very efficiently and effectively.
So in some ways, when we say do more, what we mean is do less of the things that don't matter and more efficient things in the things that do matter. So you're increasing, because if you're trying to increase your capacity in something, you have to learn how to do it well. And the only way to do it well is by giving it focused attention. And the only way you can give it focused attention is if you eliminate all the distractions.
Yep.
I have this post-it note on my desk that says, when you get clarity about the things that really matter, it also, well, I can't remember exactly, but I think it's actually, if you get clarity about the things that don't matter, it gives you clarity about the things that do matter. Absolutely. Or vice versa. They both work.
You can go from both either direction.
Yeah. So you're getting clarity about the things that matter and things that actually, like you like to say, move the dial, move the needle, the things that are going to actually make a difference, and you do more of that thing and less of the other stuff. Like when you're running all over the place, like chicken with its head cut off, you're not increasing capacity. You're just literally being crazy. So you have to.
And you're like, I'm doing what the Denning said by doing more. And you're like, whoa.
Right. So you have to get real clarity about the things that matter and the things that will make a difference and do more of those things and less of everything else.
And so it really comes down to simple strategies of making things more effective. And we'll try to give some specific examples here. But essentially, like at a fundamental level, 15 minutes a day is 97 hours in a year. Let that sink in. 97 hours, that's a lot. And if you could use, what could you accomplish if you had focused dedication to 97 hours? You could do a lot of things, pretty amazing. And so we're like, well, how do I find 15 minutes in a day? And many of you were like, oh, I'm so busy, I don't have 5 minutes. It's crazy. It's all over. I have no downtime. The truth is there's a ton of wasted time. Mm-hmm. And we haven't learned how to do things effectively or efficiently. So we haven't increased our capabilities or our capacity. And so it seems like we're filled and overflowing. I like to see little glass containers that are ascending in size, right? So the one, right now, we're the little glass container, the little one.
Like a little teeny.
And it's spilling over. Pouring stuff in, it's just spilling over. And here we are saying, add some more. And you're like, it's already overflowing. Like, you want me to just keep pouring water? It's overflowing. And so when you increase your capacity, you take everything that's in the little container and you dump it in the next one up. And it all fits easily. And there's still some space for some more. Mm-hmm. So you actually can pour some more in. And then you keep doing that. You keep increasing your capacity and capability. So what happens is you realize, wow, I'm wasting a lot of time, or I'm busy, but not productive. There's a gigantic distinction between being busy and being productive. And, they did this research in the workplace and they said it takes the average worker 14 working days to do 5 hours of deep work. Which is mind-boggling, right?
It seems insane.
It's insane. But it's true. People struggle to focus and to stay focused, not get distracted, and just really get in and get deep work done, work that actually matters. And I would say the same thing is true in our homes. It's taking 14 days to do 5 hours of work that actually makes a difference in our homes. But right. Think about if we got our lives organized and dialed in and focused, and we had systems and strategies in place, we could do 3 to 4 hours a day. Of deep work, and that just changes everything.
Exactly. And I think that the way you and I do that was something I perfectly articulated yesterday, because for me personally, I have learned how to be very self-aware. And so when I start to feel the slightest feelings of overwhelm, that's when I begin to process it and voice it and work through it. I don't wait until I try to avoid waiting until I'm crushed by overwhelm to do something about it. I begin at the beginning.
Because then I might find you buried somewhere in a closet.
Curl up in a ball,
right? Crying.
I'm overwhelmed, right? So yesterday at breakfast, I said, okay, I'm starting to feel some overwhelm here. And part of the reason is I don't know what to put as a priority right now today. Because we have so many things going on right now. We just acquired our new World School Family Resort here in Southern Portugal. We also are I'm running Facebook ads, and I'm working on my other business, my charts and my systems and my 28-day challenge. And we've got the animals and we've got, you know, homeschooling. Like, we have so many things going on. And so part of the reason overwhelm occurs, and part of the reason we don't increase our capacity, we just keep doing more of lots of things, is we don't have clarity about the most important thing. When you know what the most important thing is at every, let's say, at least every hour of your day, that gives you clarity and it reduces overwhelm. And it increases your capacity because you're able to focus with intention on that specific thing. When you do that, that's how you increase capacity, because you're not scatterbrained everywhere. You're focused on, right now at this moment, I am doing this task. And when I'm done with this task, I'll move on to the next one. Mm-hmm. That, for me, is key to reducing overwhelm and giving me that focused attention to be able to do the task I'm doing well, which is essentially what then brings more capacity and right. capability.
And another thing that we've been teaching for years and also came up yesterday is, like, well, all the things you just mentioned are important.
Yes.
Like, well, I have, and this is, it's actually inaccurate, but if it feels true, it's like, you can't have 10 priorities. Like, the idea of a priority is, like, one thing takes precedence over another. Like, the one thing is more important than another. But often you're like, well,
it feels like I have 10 priorities.
All of these things
right now
are important.
Yeah.
And they all need to be addressed. And one of the challenges, we feel like we have to address all of them today.
Yes.
That's also
well, and that was the other thing that you reminded me yesterday. You're like, we don't, yes, all of those are priorities. They do not all have to get done today. Ideally, we'll get them all done this week.
Right.
And so then for me, the way I like to then structure is because, yeah, they're all priorities. One approach I take is I chunk my day, and I still feel like that's such a powerful tool. So in the morning, I've got personal time and I focus. That's all I focus on, personal time. In the morning, it's my morning routine, my personal routines. Then I've got family time. And during that time, we do breakfast, we do devotional, we're starting the day with the kids. And then during work time, then I'm working on work stuff, whatever that looks like. And then the next piece of the next strategy I use besides chunking is I try to order things in either by urgency or importance. So part of what helped me make my decision yesterday and is guiding me every day this week, essentially, is what's most important. For us, we just got the World School Family Resort. Currently, we only have a few rooms available for rent. So important, not urgent, but important, is to get those rooms ready so that they can then be rented. So then that helps me decide, oh, okay, right now, what's most important? This, because that will help us to produce the income to do this. You know, it's like this cascading effect of that's what's most important. Then, of course, there's the urgent things, right? Yesterday afternoon, an urgent thing came up of, oh, they're coming to pick up large garbage, so we better make a pile. And then while we're working on that thing, getting old mattresses and all kinds of junk out of this place, we discover the sheep are missing. That, of course, then means that is a priority.
Yeah, I walk
over there.
You can't
just be like, oh.
They're gone.
Yeah.
Our goats and sheep are just gone. And I'm like, oh, no. I mean, who knows, some stray dog came through. Anyways, we go searching all over, and I'm calling everybody. So everyone had to stop whatever they're doing. Aaliyah was cooking dinner. She had to come out.
But,
we had to drop everything because I'm like, okay, there's a distraction.
The biggest problem is I feel that that is how most people are spending most of their time. And that may not be 100% accurate.
But it feels like it. And they're putting out fires.
That you're constantly dealing with that type of thing. You're like, the sheep are gone. This is it. Blah, blah, blah. That to me is survival mode.
Right.
Now for us, we have got the systems and strategies and the clarity and focus in place enough. And of course, this has been, you know, we've been practicing it for now many years, decades, that those kind of things are rare, because we usually are able to, because that's what happens with, as you increase your self-awareness.
Well, and
you're able to predict those types of things happening, so that usually you're able to prevent them.
Right, exactly.
Now, we kind of knew it was a risk because our little fence is needs to be fixed.
That's
falling
what I was,
over.
that's what I was gonna say. The only time it happens to us now is when we take on more, we come into a new project and we have not yet implemented our systems and strategies.
Yes, right.
So we just took on this huge project and we're dealing with all the neglect that's been here for
right.
years that we
so
did
we're
not
using
do.
A fence that's falling over.
Yeah.
We know it needs to be replaced, but getting the rooms ready to rent is the more important priority. And so then sometimes that produces an urgent thing like looking for the lost sheep, right? So we're outlining all of this so it gives you a, you know, concrete example of how this works in our life. We have learned to structure our days in chunks and to structure our actions according to our most important priorities. And we literally, and I know sometimes I use this word too much, literally, but in this case, it's literally, we have learned to operate almost every moment, every minute of every day based on that strategy. Wouldn't
mm-hmm.
you say that's accurate?
Yes,
like
absolutely.
We've gotten to that point where that's what we do.
That's how we just think through it. We think through like, okay, because fundamentally it's like, you're not a firefighter. I'm not a firefighter. Like, you're a mom and a wife and a business leader. Like, and I'm a dad, a husband, a businessman. Like, we're not firefighters. And so they're constantly facing fires and problems. Like, okay, stop. Like, how do we prevent the problem?
How do we prevent forest fires?
Yes. How do we prevent all these fires?
And
if I'm
bear.
Like, if I just feel like my whole day is like, oh, they're over there, over there, over there. We just stop. And you've done it so many times. I've done it so many times. We just do full stop. Like, everything stop. And you think your life's going to completely collapse and fall apart if you're not constantly putting out fires or playing whack-a-mole. But you stop and say, how do I prevent that from happening again?
Right.
I'm not doing that. I get interrupted 3 times a day or 10 times a week, whatever,
mm-hmm.
by that thing. I'm fixing it. I'm putting a system, a strategy in place right now to fix it. And then there, I don't have to deal with that fire anymore. And then I move to the next thing. I'm fixing this.
Yeah.
I'm going to be super proactive. I'm like, I'm going to stop. That's what increases our capacity, our capability.
Right. We're
going
proactive.
Like, I'm going to be really, really proactive on this, and I'm going to make a solution here. I'm going to create a solution that's, and I'm going to keep up with it. So then I don't have to ever put out a fire in that area anymore.
Right.
And then I move through. And then eventually, as you move through your life and each of your roles and each of those things, then all of a sudden you're like, wow, I'm not putting out fires every day. I'm not running around
because
like
I'm
a
preventing
crazy person.
Them all. I'm preventing fires, so I don't have to put out fires.
Yep. And even creating like self-prevention and self-extinguishing, like you create the pattern where you're like, okay, I can do so much more now because I'm not endlessly putting out fires with all the little things I'm doing.
Here's what happens. We could talk about it metaphysically or purely biologically. When you have energy that you are putting into surviving, putting out fires, then obviously it feels like you have no more energy to put into increasing capacity, because in a lot of ways that's very true. Your energy is going to putting out your fires. Your energy is going to solving immediate urgent problems right in front of your face. But when you learn how to prevent those things from happening, suddenly what you realize is, wow, I actually have energy left over because I'm not in constant survival mode. And then now with this new energy, you can put it into doing something else, taking on more, doing a different challenge, doing a bigger project, because you have prevented problems rather than consistently responded or reacted to them.
That's
so
huge.
That's a huge key
huge.
Piece is that when you learn how to do that bit by bit, little by little, you now have energy reserves that you can put into growing your abilities and capabilities.
Yep. So powerful. And again, okay, so I want to go back to the 15 minutes and 97 hours. If you can figure out...
You just
out,
love your little numbers
well,
calculation.
Well, it's fun because when you frame it like that, it's pretty powerful. So 30 minutes a day is 22 work days in a year. So, you know, you go 60 minutes a day is what, 44, and 90 minutes a day is what most the average adult spends on Facebook or social media. That's 66 8-hour work days in a year.
That's a lot.
So most people waste 90 minutes all day long. And if Rachel and I were able to come into your house and just kind of quietly watch and just be there, just observing the day,
we could pick out lots of time
easily 90 minutes. It's being wasted. You don't feel like it's wasted because you're busy and you're moving around, doing this and doing that. And like, it's because you're not doing that very effectively. So we could find 90 minutes all day long. So that gives you 66 8-hour work days in this next year to work on stuff. That makes you more capable. And so you start figuring out and do it in 5-minute increments or 15-minute increments. That's why I like to do that. And I think where it first started for me is when I was single, I would just spend tons of time at the gym, as an example. And then I got married and I was like, I go to the gym. So I go to the gym and I'd come home. She's like, where have you been? And I'm like, whoa, what in the world? Like, I'm in the gym.
I've been in the gym for 2 hours?
I can go to the gym. Yeah, 2 hours at the gym? And I'm like, yeah, I've always been 2 hours at the gym. Like, no, you don't. Like, oh, man. And so then we start having kids and more kids and more kids, and all the way up to 7 kids and then more businesses and then travel. And I'm like, there's no way I got to figure out. So it's either, and most people are like, I guess I'll stop working out or whatever. But the reality was, I got to figure out how to get a phenomenal workout in 45 minutes or less.
Sometimes 15 minutes or less.
Yeah, exactly. On the days where I'm crazy busy, I got 15 minutes. How can I do this? Now, if I go to my old way of thinking, it's not possible. I guess I'll just sacrifice my health and embrace the dad bod because I have 7 kids.
Like, and no time to work out.
Figure out how to get the workout in and do it with the kids. And again, the survival brain or a weak, underdeveloped brain is like, you can't do it. Can't be done. You know, you can't have kids and work out. You can't have kids and travel the world. You can't run a successful business and stay in shape and have a great family. I'm like, this is what I do all day, every day. I teach men how to have incredible fitness, a phenomenal family, and great finances. Those three things. Fitness, family, finances. That's what I do. Because I optimize those things. And you figure that out. So I went from 2 hours in the gym to an hour and a half, then to an hour. And then, you know, really 45 minutes is where I'm, or less. I'm a lot of my workouts, I'm just wrecked in 30 minutes. I'm like, this is good. So I'm in fantastic shape. And I can keep my standard of, I can always see my ab muscles. I can always do 50 push-ups at any moment. And I can always run a 5K at any moment. Those are my bare minimum standards. So I just freed up all that time. And then while I'm working out, I'm listening to great audiobooks. So I'm learning about business or about health and fitness or about family, relationships, whatever. I'm listening to great things. So I'm increasing my capacity.
So you're multitasking in a way that's doable, but accomplishing two things at once.
Exactly. So I'm exercising
my mind. That's another strategy we use all the time.
And my body, and doing it in a shorter time. So now I've increased my capacity and my bandwidth.
Right.
I can do more.
Yes. Okay. There's a couple things I wanted to address here, especially related to introverts. And what else did she say? So socially awkward, needs a lot of reflection time, hasn't been encouraged or supported. So as far as being introverted and as being someone, I would say, she says, I can't seem to handle much. I want to be a hard worker. I absolutely actually relate to those statements because I feel like I've been the person, for one, I'm very introverted. Two, I don't know if lazy is the word, but I definitely enjoy comfort and luxury and the easier way. Sometimes I'll joke with Greg because we'll be out traveling somewhere or something and we're trying to find our way somewhere. And I'm like, babe, they've made this for people like me. Like, this is the way we go because this is the way I would obviously go, right? Like, let's go that way. It's for the average person, right? Instead of taking this strange, uncharted path over here, let's just follow this route, right? And so I'm totally that person. But I have been able to increase my own capacity. And I was just saying to Greg yesterday, like, I never imagined that I would be the person coaching or doing podcasts or you know, having a business. Like, there's so many things I'm doing in my life now that I would have never imagined I could do or would even want to do. And yet, over time, using these strategies of self-improvement, I've gotten to the point where I easily, and I say easily because it feels easy now, and gladly do these things because I have increased my capacity.
Yeah, things you wouldn't, and same for me, things we wouldn't have dreamed
of doing. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In fact, it sounded like an absolute terror.
Right.
You told each of us at certain times that we'd be doing a podcast
right.
or speaking
exactly.
or teaching. You're like,
no way.
I'm not growing up then.
Because exactly.
that sounds horrible.
Yeah, exactly. And the interesting thing, too, is going back to what you said before, that the only way to become tougher is to do hard things, I think is very, very true. But I also think it's not always the way you're imagining it, you listener, because sometimes you think, that means I've got to, you know, do 50 push. That's not a good example, because in some cases, like directly related to fitness, that's true. But what it looks like is that it's often the small little hard thing that you're avoiding.
Mm-hmm.
It's often that little thing in the back of your mind or heart where you're like, oh, yeah, I don't want to do that.
Well, it's the additional proactive effort we were just talking
yes,
about.
Yes, exactly.
You don't want to do that. You're like, yeah, proactivity looks like, okay, I got to put a little extra effort and work in here. Instead of sit plopping down and watching some episode,
right.
I'm going to put in a little time to make this chart for my kids.
Yeah. And so like, going back to self-awareness, when we learn to pay attention to those things, because sometimes it will be a little thought or a little inclination of like, do that. And you're like, oh, I don't want to. It's extra effort.
Exactly.
It's extra time. It's, you know, it's going to require something of me. And so we don't do those things. But I've learned that that's actually the very path. That's kind of the do hard things
absolutely.
That you're talking about. So I've
doing lots of little things that need to be done to make things better.
Exactly.
I love that.
No, it's absolutely
so
that. And so that's how it really begins. That's how you go from being where you are right now, going back to the Google Maps analogy, to where you want to be. It's by following the Google Maps instructions, which are really in your heart and mind. It's saying, turn left here, turn right there, you know. It's giving you, when you learn to be self-aware, you're getting those instructions every single day. Your heart and mind, your soul are telling you when you learn, you're making faces over there.
I'm making
when
faces
you learn
because,
to pay attention.
Well, but not even that, because sometimes people are like, I've paid perfect attention and a productive thought has not crossed through my head the entire day. And we were there. I was there. I was in that spot where you would have told me, okay, Greg, sit here and pay attention to your thoughts. And I'd pay attention all day. I'm like, yep, I didn't think of anything that was helpful. Here's what
I'm
changed
not sure,
for me.
Though.
No, I was all training. It was all training. Because everything comes down to training. You don't rise, this is Archilochus, you don't rise to the level of your expectations. You fall to the level of your training. Everything is training and habit, right? Will Durant said that same thing, right? Like, it's not an act, but a habit, right? So here's my point. Like, I trained my brain, and so have you, by being voracious readers. We're constantly reading and listening to books, and so you literally reshape your brain. So now, all the ideas we've just put into our heads over the years, they pop up. Like, so we've heard or read about more efficient, effective ways, and so the ideas come more. What I'm saying is we've facilitated and increased our capacity and capability of having those
and
ideas.
And awareness of what's...
Exactly.
Yeah, what should be pursued. And I agree with that. But I also do feel like I truly believe every person, if they did sit down with those types of thoughts, what would come to their mind would be something that doesn't seem related. It doesn't seem like it's helping you in this ultimate goal of increasing capacity, but in reality, it is. And what I mean by that is it goes back to Jordan Peterson and his whole clean up your room thing. If you were to sit down right now and think, what could I do to be more capable, have more capacity, do hard things, the thought that might come to your mind would be something as simple as like, put that away, clean that up, pick that up. And you think, oh, no, focus. I got to get back.
Throw out that junk.
Right. Clean out that drawer.
One that just occurred to me is, for some of you, it's going to be like, you know what? You need to lose 20 pounds. Because you're carrying around this extra weight. It's slowing you
down.
Well,
but
it
would start with something as simple as don't eat that cookie.
Yeah. Throw
away
that. Not only don't eat, throw that crap away. Don't give it to anybody else. Get that garbage out of your house.
Well, but my... The point I want to emphasize here is that it's going to start with small things that you can do. You can get up and throw away that cookie. You can get up and clean off that desk, or clean up that drawer, or clean out that corner,
and it's
or
often going to be
fix your hair,
you can
or put
do,
on some new clothes,
but don't want to.
And that's where this little magic formula comes in. That's the thing we're talking about. Do hard things. The way to increase your capacity to be tougher is to do hard things. And the hard things are the things that you're resisting.
The things you don't want to do, but you totally can do.
Right.
Yeah.
But that are small and simple things.
Yep, exactly.
You know, like getting dressed, making your bed, making a meal for your family,
and
organizing your space.
I can imagine you sitting there like, oh, come on, give me something useful. How will getting up and getting ready every day and not eating cookies make me have an extraordinary life? Like, that is exactly where it starts. and it stays. You start there and you stay there. Like, you cut out the crap. You get up, you get ready, you make your bed. You get things organized. You get rid of the clutter. You drop the extra weight. That's exactly the formula.
That's the foundation of an extraordinary life. And that, for us, that is how it began. The only reason we are where we are now and we've been able to do all the extraordinary things we've been able to do is because we built the foundation starting with those small things.
Yep, exactly.
We started small act by small act, small habit by small habit, until we grow in capacity. Because once you learn to manage those small things, then you finally have the space in your jar to be able to handle larger things, right? You grow in your jar size so that you can hold more, you can do more, because you're finally able to do what you have. One thing I love to tell my moms in my 28-day challenge all the time is when you learn to handle what you have, then you can finally learn to do more.
And I have to hit this hard because it's come up, you know, it comes up all the time. It was even in the question, but I don't have the support. I've not been supported. I think that's a good part in the journey, because we could all be saying, well, I would do that if I had support. It would be so much easier if my spouse would help out, or my kids would help, all these things.
And that makes a positive difference. We're not going to deny that.
It's true, 100%. But the way you get support, okay. Let me come back to the fundamental framework that I finally realized. Like, and as a kid, man, I just wanted somebody to come rescue me. I literally would daydream about winning the lottery, although I never gambled. I didn't have money. I probably would have gambled.
Never bought a ticket.
I never bought a ticket. I never did. I'm like, just. I would daydream about some wealthy person just saying, oh, do you need some money? Here's a ton of money. And I just wanted somebody to rescue me from my problems. And then finally, after massive amounts of resistance, I just realized, and this is one of the most important things that ever happened to me, nobody's coming to rescue you.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is coming to save you. That, I think, is the day I became more capable.
Mm-hmm.
Because I finally took ownership of every single aspect of my life. And I realized nobody is going to come make my life better for me. Nobody's coming in to pick up my goals and dreams and hopes and build them for me.
Right.
As much as I hoped and prayed and fasted and pleaded that even God would come down and solve my problems or send somebody. No, nobody's coming to save you. Nobody's coming to rescue you. You got to self-rescue. I have a Krav Maga hoodie that says, you know, the Krav Maga for the times you need to self-rescue. Right? And you're like, yes, gosh, you become more capable. So then, but guess what happens? When you become more capable, the people around you become more capable and they become more helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. So by standing up and being a man.
Or a woman.
Then your spouse and your kids respond, and then they start to help out. But you don't then relax like, oh, good, I don't have to be more capable. It's like, no, I'm going to keep being more capable. And
they become more capable.
My capacity. And you raise
and all the whole family becomes more capable, which then allows you to do and accomplish more because you're surrounded by capable people. And that's 100% true for us. I mean, part of the reason we're able to do everything that we're able to do is because our children are also very capable. And so they're a huge help and support. you and I are both capable, and so we support each other. But that came after we individually became strong and capable people. Not, it wasn't the other way around. We didn't wait until we supported each other to become more capable. We became more capable individually, and then together we were able to further increase our capability.
Which is like, it's the horse pulling team,
yeah,
right? A single horse can pull, I don't know, a few thousand pounds. And two together, you might think, oh, we really double it. No, it's like quadruples the
right
amount they can,
exactly,
can carry. So I individually say, no one's coming to rescue me, including Rachel. She's not coming to rescue me. I'm going to become more capable. She says, no one's coming to rescue me, except Greg will. He'll always be there to rescue me. So she takes it easy on a lot of things, letting me do the hard, dirty work. But that's my role as a husband and a father, as a man. I'm supposed to carry that load. But on the things where I can't and won't rescue you, you had to become more capable. So now the two of us together, we can accomplish unbelievable things because we both individually became more capable.
Yes, but in order to not remove all hope from people listening, that back to that, I can't do it because my husband doesn't support or rescue me or help me. I already, before we met, became a capable woman that you were attracted to. So
I was like, whoa. Hey,
well,
baby.
So the point is, I became capable and competent so that you wanted to be yoked with me. If we go back to the equally yoked thing, right? Like going back to the horse pulling analogy, you're not going to put this strong horse with some little weak pony. So
right,
often what we need is to increase our strength and capability so that our spouse will want to support us because they see us as an equal partner or as someone they can be yoked with.
Yes. And when you rise, the spouse is like, ooh, let's go. It's amazing. Especially, it goes both ways, but I think maybe especially when a woman starts to rise, a man feels like, oh man, I got to step up. I am
right,
not being a man here. Mm-hmm. So it calls him out and it's uncomfortable, but man, it's one of the most important things that can ever happen. Okay. Got to roll. Got big things to go work on today. So love you guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for this great question. Do everything in your power and do it consistently to increase your capacity and become more capable. Love you guys. 3 chapters.